Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this getaway Friday night. Friday, July the 17th, 2026, 17 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio tonight by the Democratic candidate for the 86th District House Rep seat this fall, Kent Halloran. Matt is off tonight, but his show will be on next hour, and it will be a new program that he taped before he left. Phone lines are open, by the way, if you'd like to call in, talk about anything, 740-383-9944. Kent, tell people where the 86th District is. Where does it run?
The 86th District, it includes the entirety of Union County and the city of Marion. Now, there's some outlying areas, and it's drawn straight. I mean, the city's borders aren't quite. But, yeah, if you're outside of the city of Marion, you are in the 87th District. And the reason I believe this was done, now, this was gerrymandered back in the 1960s, and I believe it was done that way because in the 60s, if my history is correct, Marion was a little more left-leaning than we are now. And I think it was a way to get the very strong right-leaning Union County, and it kind of buried the Marion vote. And I don't know, I'd have to look this up, but I don't know how many candidates we've had from Marion. I think Glenn Coble ran. I think Kreider ran too.
He might have. You know, the Democratic votes in Marion used to come from the north and the west sides of town. Which were the more economically challenged sides of town. But that's seemingly where they always came from.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the economics are better there. I'm not sure, but
could be.
I don't know. I really don't know. I have not. All I'm looking for from Marion is it's like you've got a choice now for this district, and I hope you'll consider my voting for me.
Want to do one more Amy Acton story because this got a lot of attention this past week. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Amy Acton faced backlash from her party last week after she told the Toledo Blade she does not support boys playing in girls' sports. "I do not support boys playing in girls' sports. This is already settled law in Ohio, and as governor, I will enforce and uphold the law," Acton told the outlet on June the 30th. "As a doctor, public servant, and a mom, I will always stand up for fairness and protect kids' health and safety." Progressive groups took issue with her comment, with some activists calling the remark a betrayal of her LGBTQ and ally supporters. In a now-deleted statement, the Ohio Democratic Progressive Caucus said its members, including LGBTQ voters, had a range of reactions to Acton's comment and claimed its members are now less likely to help with her campaign. It's frustrating to see an otherwise strong candidate take the bait by trying to triangulate a response rather than just being frank. Can we please just leave trans kids alone and get back to talking about how we can make life more affordable for Ohioans? Maria Bruno, executive director for Ohioans Against Extremism, said. The comments were made after a 6-3 Supreme Court decision in which justices ruled that states are allowed to bar transgender girls from competing on girls and women's sports teams. Ohio law has banned trans students from taking part in female athletics since 2024. Speaking Wednesday, Acton addressed the remarks. Acton said her primary focus is on lowering costs and supporting public services like schools and hospitals. "We are in the middle of a political season, and one of the hallmarks of political seasons is pitting us against one another and intentionally creating fear and chaos for people who are already dealing with a lot, and I think that's a crime," Acton said. "Nonetheless, this is settled law in Ohio, as well as now the Supreme Court, and what I am hearing from Ohioans is they want me to focus on lowering costs in the state." There it is again.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I've heard that before. She's always listening to people. You know, I don't know what her thoughts are, but the people are telling her. Who are the people?
I don't know.
We'll finish this up. We'll come back to this. you read these things in order, and it glares at you. Ohio allowed trans athletes to participate on the sports teams of their preference for 8 years. During that time, there were 19 trans students who played in girls' sports across the state out of 400,000 student athletes. Ohioans will vote for the next governor on November the 3rd. There you go. How about that story?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Another press release from... Well, no, this one's not from her.
That's
this is a news story. This is a news story. WCMH.
Yeah. I think I agree with him. I think she could have just made a statement, yay or nay. It's always easy to say, well, it's settled law. To be perfectly frank, I think this is... I don't want to call it a tempest in a teacup because this involves a lot of people, but... To me, this should never have been a governmental issue. Now, if you want to talk to the Ohio State High School Athletic Association or whatever the proper initials, I just think to me, trans people are going through a lot. And again, we've had all this nonsense speech about how, oh, we allow trans to do that and we're going to have doctors in the schools and your boy Johnny's going to go to school and he's going to come home a Jane. Okay, that's insane and that's nonsense. Okay, these young people, if they are truly transgender and they're going through all of these challenges, first off, there is no great advantage of a trans athlete versus a trans girl versus a girl that was born as female. There is no great advantage. In fact, much of this was drawn up, or much of this controversy was drawn up when a trans female tied a born female athlete in a national swimming competition. She tied for fifth. And that became the controversy because they gave the born female the sixth place trophy, saying we'll replace it, but this is just for the picture. That, I mean, again, there is no super advantage for trans athletes, and again, the other controversy are the bathroom controversies, the bathroom issues. Well, you know what trans people do in the bathroom? The same thing everyone does in the bathroom. They relieve themselves.
Explain this to me. Okay, the Toledo Blade asked her what she thought about trans athletes. And she said, I do not support boys playing in girls' sports. Then when she got the backlash, she said, we're in the middle of a political season, and one of the hallmarks of political seasons is pitting us against one another and intentionally creating fear and chaos for people who are already dealing with a lot. And I think that's a crime. What's a crime? That somebody asked her a question?
I don't know what the crime is in that case. Yes, somebody
asked.
That's
not exactly a trick question.
No, it isn't. It's a pretty straightforward question. She was asked a question, and she
answered it.
Danced around. She didn't answer straight off.
Well,
she said she's boys and girls. Yeah. Well, okay, that's boys. We're not. Those are trans girls now. If they identify as a girl and they're going through trans, and they're going through all the hassles of going to, of changing their gender, then they are women or girls. They're trans girls. Now,
so you don't think she's against trans?
I don't have a clue what she's saying there. I'll be honest with you, because she danced around the issue. She didn't want to say she was in favor of trans athletes. Are trans girls competing with other women?
Well, she said this is already settled law in Ohio, and I will uphold the law.
So she doesn't want to change the law, which
bans trans athletes. Right, okay, so there you go. She answered it. Okay, so what's the crime? Who was pitting people against people? I guess I'm missing that part. Who did that?
In that whole statement, I don't know. Now, if she wants to talk about crimes and all that, you could talk about the negative, the attack ads and that sort of thing, but that's not what this is.
No, that's what she said.
Well, I know that's what she said, but she was wrong in that statement.
No, I'm saying it's not an attack ad. That's what she said.
Yeah.
So who's pitting who against who here?
Well,
because she said something that people who support her didn't like?
Yeah, I guess she's saying they're pitted against her, or the part of her faction who are trans, who are LGBTQ supporters, and she's thinking that they're going to be against her now? I don't know. Again, there is no crime there. The word crime was you know, you could say it's a pity that we in the middle of in the middle of this that people have to pit. I think the challenge I have, and basically, like I said, I try to be out there and I try to be straightforward and honest. And I know a lot of politicians that it's hard to do, but it's like the one thing I'll say, win or lose, I'm going to have my integrity.
And basically, then she goes on to say, nonetheless, as the settled law in Ohio, as well as now the Supreme Court, and what I'm hearing from Ohioans is they want me to focus on lowering costs in the state. So apparently this isn't
important to her.
No.
That's what that's saying, and that's pretty straightforward. And it's like, now I don't want to say it's the question, is the concern I have is that this question's not going away.
No.
And hopefully, again, she did a bit of soft shoe around the initial question, and she didn't fool, she's not fooling anybody. And that's the one thing you can say about the Ohio voter, when they're listening, when they're paying attention, the Ohio voter is not being fooled.
This is just a whole confusing thing to me because first of all, if the people, which is where she tends to go, are telling her that they want to talk about lowering costs in the state and not about trans issues, then why is she pitted against people and chaos and all that? Well, who's telling her that?
Well, again, who are the people that are, who are these people? Most people in this state want port prices to go down. I mean, show me someone who doesn't. Show me someone who says, I think prices are just fine. I don't mind paying $4 for gas or however much for eggs. Most people are not in that situation. Most people are struggling financially. Now, that doesn't mean you can't answer other questions that don't relate to it. The one thing you can say now, I'm one that I fully, if someone asks me a question and I am not familiar with the issue, I will say I'm not familiar with that issue, or I would look into that. I've had people ask me about everything from data centers to the 7123 corridor. It's like, now some of those things I have looked into, but I'm trying to think of a more positive way. People want prices and they want the economy to improve.
Well, here's what I think this really says to Democratic voters. And this is, the procession of things that she has said in the last couple months. She goes to places Democrats haven't been. She wants to put a Republican in her cabinet. She is not a partisan. She doesn't believe in boys playing in girls' sports. And a lot of people have labeled her this extreme Democrat, and I certainly don't see that.
Oh, no. I think she is struggling to stay centrist. She is struggling to stay...
From going to the right or the left?
I'm not sure in that case. I mean, if you're looking at that, the quote here in the discussion of trans athletes, she's definitely trending on the right.
And she worked in the DeWine administration.
And she worked for Republicans. So, yeah, she may be trying to pull herself more to the left. I don't know where she... again, in a short conversation I've had with her, she tells me what she wants. She knows I want to hear, but I don't know. It's like it's very hard when you're seeing something like it's very hard to understand what she's thinking. Only she can do that.
She's one of the most confusing candidates we've seen in a long time. Whether candidates win or lose, that's one thing, but usually candidates know what they're saying. And you have a pretty good idea what they believe because they'll tell you. I'm not sure with her. I really don't know.
Well,
she tries about as hard as anybody not to say the word Democrat that I have ever heard a Democratic gubernatorial candidate try. I've never seen anybody try that hard not to say their party affiliation.
I have.
You've because, heard her say it.
Not her. I've been in places where, especially I actually was in one place. I was in the Deep South, that was before Republicans were winning down there. You know, that's when you were a Dixiecrat, basically, was what they called the Democrats down in the South. So there are places like you didn't call yourself a Republican if you were in good old Alabama. But that really changed in probably 1980 is when that started changing with Reagan.
Well, I'll be the Toledo Blade. How do you feel about boys playing in girls' sports?
I don't think boys should play in girls' sports, but trans girls should be able to play in girls' sports.
What about the Supreme Court and the Ohio law?
I disagree with both.
Should they be in this?
Should
they be involved in making these rules?
I don't think so. As I mentioned earlier, I feel that this is not, especially in Ohio, I think that one article mentioned this only affected 19 people. We have over 11 million people
in 8 years.
That's in 8 years we've had 19 people affected. This is the low hanging fruit for a lot of the right leading people. Oh, we don't like transgender for whatever reason, I'm not sure, but the right doesn't like transgender, so by God, they're going to pass this law and they're going to wrap themselves in whatever they're wrapping themselves in, whether it's the Bible, whether it's the will of God, whether it's the will of the people, I don't know. But this, it is ridiculous for the state legislature or the Supreme Court to weighing in on this. This should be for the Ohio Athletic Association.
Is this a big issue for you?
Big no. But it is an important one.
So that the person at the top of your party's ticket feels this way, how do you feel about that?
Well, I disagree with her, but I'm not looking to agree with everyone on everything.
But is this a big one to disagree on?
I think it's an important one to disagree on, especially when you're trying to sell yourself as a Democrat and we're about people's rights. And I don't think we should be saying, do I think boys should be playing in girls' sports? Absolutely not. But trans girls are not boys.
And she's a doctor.
Agreed.
Well, before we move on,
I think she's just afraid to say that because she doesn't want to be painted as a extreme leftist.
Well, what do you make of her? You've heard her speak. You've met her. You've also heard these stories. What do you make of her?
I think she's more afraid of saying the wrong thing. You know, in other words, I think that's part of her concern as a candidate. She doesn't want to say the wrong thing. And as soon as she, and that's why you get kind of this triangulation or this circumnavigating, or I call it the soft shoe around it, some issues, because she doesn't want to be branded as an extreme anything. And quite frankly, no one wants to be branded extreme.
Well, is she or isn't she?
I don't think she is.
But what's the right thing and what's the wrong thing? Okay, in that play there from the Toledo Blade, does she believe boys should play in girls' sports? What is the right answer and what is the wrong answer?
Well, if they asked her, do you feel that boys should be able to play in girls' sports? The correct answer is no, girls' sports are for girls, boys' sports are for boys. But if they're asking trans girls should be allowed to play in girls' sports, then the correct answer, in my opinion, is absolutely.
Okay, so this was the wrong answer.
In my opinion, yes.
Okay, so how does that, so this is this what she believes? See, that's what I'm confused upon.
And that's something the two of us could speak here for the next 10 hours, and I don't think we're going to get to that answer because neither one of us are Amy Acton.
Right.
I don't know what she believes.
But, that's a problem.
With this issue, absolutely.
See, that's the problem. Now, I'm not saying Vivek Ramaswamy is Mr. Perfect, but I have not found where he has said something where I would follow up with that same kind of thinking. Is he trying to avoid saying the wrong thing? Is he just saying this to say it and he really doesn't believe it? Most of the things he said, I think he believes, and I think he believes them. They may not be what the majority of people in the state believe. I mean, he made the choice to go to Paris on July 4th. I mean, I believe he wanted to go to Paris.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I know I want to go to Paris.
Okay, so, I get what he's doing. He moved his company to Texas. I understand why he wanted to move his company to Texas. I think it was a financial benefit for him. It's usually what billionaires do. So right or wrong, whether it'll hurt him or not, I think he's doing what he believes is best for him and what is right. Her, I don't know.
Well, again, again, in that issue, you and I agree. We don't know what she's thinking there. She may not. I mean, and again, if it's not a crime, here's the thing. We have a lot of people in this country that are basically our one-issue voters. And the challenge there for anybody running, the challenge there is, you know, if you have strong beliefs and what you're going to do is for those one-issue voters, no matter what else you say or do, you've lost that vote.
Here's the ultimate problem. I don't think that this is so much about trans athletes. I think this is more about credibility on her end. Because the problem becomes the thing you say we can't solve here. Did she answer that way because that's what she believes? Or did she answer that way because she thought that was the right thing to say in Ohio?
Or was the least harmful thing
right.
to say to her campaign.
And we can't figure it out. So now, because we can't figure it out, we have to take everything she says and hold it to that standard. Is that what she believes, or is that what she's saying because she thinks that's what people want to hear? We have pointed out that she is very repetitious. Okay, is that what she believes, or is that what she's being told to say? This is why she's getting into hazardous areas as we get into the fall. Now, the good news for the Democrats is she doesn't have to win for them to win, because Sherrod Brown could win, and he's looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. And there's less to that race. Have you noticed that race does not get a whole lot of attention? Because it seems like both of them, whether you like Husted or whether you like Sherrod Brown, they both understand how to campaign. They both have given their opinions on what they believe, and nobody's questioning it.
Well, and they both have somewhat of a record as well.
Husted's
now is what, 2 years?
He's been lieutenant governor before that.
He's got a record. With both of our gubernatorial candidates, we have no idea they have no record. You know, now Amy Acton was in public service, but she was not an elected official. And I think even at one point, Mr. Ramaswamy criticized her. He's put out commercials about, oh, she did all this. She closed our businesses, closed our schools. And I think Governor DeWine came out right after that and he said, no, I was the governor and that was my decision.
Right.
And so I give DeWine a lot of credit for that. He could have easily stood back and said, you know, lay in on her because, you know, again,
he's defended her a couple times.
He has. And that's to his credit. I mean, I don't know if he's planning to run in for anything else after he's done at the governor's mansion. I think in Ohio, you can run. If he skips a term, he can run again, can he not?
I'm not sure. I don't know that he'd want to, honestly.
I don't know if he would either, but I remember Governor Rhodes did that.
I don't know if there have been rules put in since then or not.
I don't know.
Because he ran, I believe, a third consecutive time and lost to Gilligan.
Did he run the third time?
I believe so, because he lost to Gilligan.
That's right. He lost to Gilligan, and he won against Gilligan.
I don't think we had term limits then.
Maybe we didn't. Maybe we got those. Maybe those came in after Rhodes.
All right. But I guess in the end, I looked at the Democratic slate. And I look at people like Alison Russo for Secretary of State. And I look at people like John Kulowitz for Attorney General. Now, these are seasoned people who've held office, who know what to say, and I think probably believe what they say. That's what's led them to the party that they're a member of. They've ran and won as Democrats in Ohio. Why they're not the top of the ticket, I'm not sure. And I bet in private meetings they've got problems with her. Because if there is a down-ticket vote in Ohio, and there certainly is one, things like this are not helping those candidates. And if she... I mean, do you think Alison Russo or Kulowitz or Sherrod Brown would answer that way on the trans question?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that puts a big at-odds question in the Democratic category.
It does. But again, I think both, and this is for everyone, I think people have to look at the candidate as a whole. And as you pointed out, She is very repetitive, but for the most part, a lot of the what she repeats are a lot of the same things. I mean,
right.
She's going to be going, and I truly believe that is the one thing I will say is I do believe that that is going to be her number one goal, her number one fight when she gets if she gets into the governor's mansion, as I think she's gonna start looking straight at the economy.
If I would have said to you before this story, how do you think Amy Acton feels about boys playing girls sports? Would you have thought that would have been the answer?
No, I thought the answer would have been more clear. I would have rather her say, if she's either against it or for it, trans athletes now, not boys in girls sports. I would have rather she said yay or nay. It wouldn't have changed my opinion. I would have been a little disappointed, but I wouldn't have changed my vote. Now
I wonder if David Pepper feels this way. Her running mate.
I understand. I don't know. I'll ask him.
You should ask him when
he's in town next.
I mean, he didn't back off this, or she didn't back off this.
No, she did not. She did. She kind of threw everyone else under the bus. It's like, here, look, there's such a crime of all the things. But no, it's not a crime. It's just that's politics these days. Now, I do agree we've got a lot of, you know, very negative politics, especially on the national scene. But even here locally, we've talked about that before where, you know, my opponent and when during the primary, his opponent, the two of them went at each other.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not going to avoid it in politics these days.
I really
wish we could. And I hope I don't do that. I really don't want to go down negative politics. I've met my opponent. He is a nice guy, as you know. I still want to beat him. But it doesn't mean I don't want him punished for anything that he hasn't done. And I certainly don't want to drag him through the mud. And I hope he feels the same way about me.
So have you ever met him and talked to him?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, how did that go?
It went well. It was a brief conversation. We met in Union County at the Farm Bureau. It was a brief conversation, shook hands, you know, didn't say much to each other, you know, wished each other luck, so to speak. Although, you know, I don't know if we said good luck or luck to you, and hopefully it's bad.
Yeah. Well, do you think that the fact that he had this vitriolic primary might help you? That a lot of Republicans that he would need to vote for him might not come home to him because they wanted the other person or one of the other two.
They're welcome to join me. I think it's possible. I think there are a lot of things. I mean, he is a very young man. He's only 26. He's a very young man. I feel he might have a fine political future, but I think right now, I think he in my opinion, at his age, he's jumped too far. I think he should have because again, he's young man. Learn the locals. Learn what the people. Because if you're trying to represent the local people, get out there and meet them. Get out there and be part of them. And run for a trusteeship or run for a city council position. Just, you know, run. You know, start smaller before you go up. But again, that's just an opinion because obviously I would like to beat him this November. But again, I'm not going to take personal attacks on him if things stay above board. I hope they do.
Recently, big podcaster Joe Rogan said on the Iran war that conservatives don't want this, and he was one of the big supporters of President Trump. Do you think the Iran war is going to play a part because of the gas prices and things going on in the country when it comes to the November elections?
I think they will if things don't change, if this war continues. Because again, you know, we've been, you know, news-wise, we've been told, oh, we've got a ceasefire, we've got a memorandum of understanding. Oh no, we're shooting again. I think first off, I don't think it's just Republicans. I think it's everybody. We are tired of it. Nobody wants to pay $4 plus a gallon of gas for gasoline, and nobody wants our tax dollars being spent to fire missiles at Iran. I mean, there's the amount of money we are spending in a war that I'm not even sure why we're fighting it. I mean, Iran has just discovered something with this war. They have the ability to destroy the world economy. I don't think they ever considered just outright, you know, putting missiles and whatever artillery on their shores and closing the Straits of Hormuz until now. And now it's kind of like, oh, wait, we can bring the entire world to their knees.
Why did this happen?
My personal opinion, I think it was a distraction from the Epstein files.
Do you think Israel played any part in this?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Are you surprised that the anti-Semitism in this country has reached the pitch that it's at right now?
I'm always surprised at any form of bigotry or prejudice of any kind. I try not to have it in my life at all. I am against what Israel has been doing, but I am not against the Jews. That's the difference. I mean, Israel, you can be against the country's policies, and that comes right up to Netanyahu. You can be against his policies, and certainly there are a lot of people that are, including a lot of his own countrymen. But to make it, to turn it into anti-Semitism is just, it's just giving people an excuse to be anti-Semitic.
Do you think people are more anti-Semitic now against Jewish people than they were 10 years ago?
I think the war might have done that to them, but again, in my opinion, that's not the right reaction. The right reaction is to focus on the cause of the war, not the fact that you've got it's from a the country, the state of Israel.
I'm surprised at the anti-Jewish rhetoric that I've heard. Even the people who did support Trump, they will say he's owned by Israel, and they will say that Israel has done that before with politicians and things of that nature. You know, I mean, boy, if you don't like Trump, that's one thing. But that's an anti-Semitic statement to make.
Well, if you're saying, well, again, it's one of those things that if you think Netanyahu, be more specific. You don't have to be anti-Semitic. All you have to do is look and say, Bibi Netanyahu. Does he own Trump? Trump seems to do whatever he asks. But that's not, you don't, there's no reason for that to be an anti-Semitic. I mean, it's like if somehow the Japanese got hold of that, or, well, look at Putin. Are we anti-Russian now? I mean, I'm anti what Putin is doing, and I'm anti what Russia is doing, but I'm not anti-Russian. You know, why do we have to lump everyone into a category?
There's always been something about Israel and Palestine and Muslim and Jewish culture that rubs a lot of people in this country the wrong way. We have had conversations about mosques and where they should be. We have confused the word Muslim and terrorist and merged them at times.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have used anti-Israel terminology. We have Holocaust deniers. I mean, this has been going on a long time. And those seem to be the only two. I mean, not that others don't get any of that. But certainly those are number one and number two. And I'm not sure which is number one and number two at the current time. After 9/11, certainly the Muslim Arab population was in trouble. But now it certainly seemed to switch to the Israeli.
Well, it's whatever the big news item is of the day. I mean, you know, when it was 9/11, oh gosh, yeah, it was. Even though, and it was like, of course, we used that as part to attack Iraq, and yet, I think the majority of the perpetrators of 9/11 were from the Saudi Arabia. It's interesting we haven't gone to war with the Saudis. Oh, that's right, they have oil, and we need that. So there's a lot of things behind, you know, and part of me thinks that, I'm not saying every politician does this, but there are politicians out there that have taken advantage of people's own bigotry and own prejudice and just thrown it in a fervor. Trans is another one right now. Why? Because they're different. You're different from me, I'm different from you, and we don't hate each other, so why is difference a big deal?
Well, maybe that was an issue, why there was such a big issue with what Amy Acton said.
Could be.
Do you think she's going to get those people back? Is that a big chunk of people to lose?
I don't know. I think first off, you can't afford in an election that's this close, and at last I saw that was 47% to 47%. Last I checked, that's pretty close. And you can't afford to lose anybody. You just can't write off sector of the population if you're trying to win an office like governor or anything, any other large statewide or nationwide office.
I mean, Republicans do use this against Democrats. Is it a big issue? Is it the new abortion? I mean, I don't know.
I think it may be for some. But I don't think it is as major as the Republicans would like it to be. I think there are enough other issues out there. And again, the party in power right now, the last thing the Republicans want to do is say, "Well, look at how great the economy is doing under us." That's a non-starter right there, especially since the war. And we really, it's one of those things that it's politicians like cooking pasta. You got to keep throwing things at the wall until it sticks.
You know, a question I like to ask politicians is usually, what makes you a Democrat? What makes you a Republican? Because I'm interested to know that. And when it comes to this Amy Acton thing, I've asked you that question before. What makes her a Democrat?
Well, what makes you a Democrat or makes you a Republican or independent or libertarian is what you say you are. Now, in this state, like many others, but not every state does this. In our state, you are officially the party that you voted in the last primary for.
Right, but I mean, is there a belief you should hold? Is there a set of beliefs? I'm not sure.
There, you know what there used to be. Remember when you'd have the party, the presidential conventions? You had what was called a platform. You know, all the planks and all what you stood for in the platform. We haven't done that, at least in the last one or two. I know the last one, and I don't even think we had a real platform in 2020 either.
Well, see, this is what's confusing to me. Like when somebody says liberal media, okay. Well, what's liberal media? Okay, well, you're for the Democrats. Okay, well, what are the Democrats for? You know, I'm not exactly sure, because in a case like this, clearly what you and Amy Acton feel in regard to trans athletes are two different things, but you're both Democrats. So what do Democrats stand for?
Well, I can tell you what I stand for as a Democrat. I stand for the workers over the management. I grew up in a union home, and I still think that the unions have their place, and that workers have the rights to should have the right to assemble and be a part of a union and have some collective bargaining. We've had an enormous wealth gap in this country, really starting in the either late 70s or 80s. We've had an enormous wealth gap where the rich keep getting richer, and the rest of us kind of stay on the. You know, we kind of stay and we're holding our own, but barely. I am in favor of education. I want not just higher education. Obviously, I work at Ohio State, so I'm in favor of higher education, but I'm for education from the ground up. And I think every person in America deserves an excellent education through a public school system. Now, I'm not saying private school systems are off the table, but I want a strong public school system. The other thing I'm in favor for is community leadership. The state is not, I am not going to the state to tell the local communities what they need to do. I'm going to the state to talk to the, and I'm, in a, and when I, and if I do win and get, do win and the voters in the district give, you know, honor me with a victory, then I'm not going down there just to represent the ones that voted for me. I'm going down there to represent the communities in my district, and I'm going down there to listen. I'm going down there to bring their opinions and their needs to Columbus, not the other way around. I'm not coming back to the communities and saying, "Well, the state wants you to do this, this, and this." That's the last thing we need. What we need is we need to help locals. We need to provide money for infrastructure, for better schools, and we need to find ways of bringing down the tax burden of our community. Now, I think that makes me a Democrat. You'd have to ask Amy Acton the same question.
What things can you do between now and then, aside from advertising and yard signs, to create awareness for your particular race? Because it is in a year where there are a lot of statewide races going on, mm-hmm. A race like this can get lost in the shuffle.
I am going to, beginning in probably in mid-August, I will be in every community. I'm going to try to hit a spot in every community in my district. Obviously, I'll hit Marion and Marysville, but I'm going to look at Richland and all the and many other small communities in both counties. And I'm going to, and it's going to be on my website, which is Halloran4Ohio.com. And I'm going to have a list of, if you want to talk to me, even if it's just to complain about what's going on, or if you have things you want to know my opinion on, you can meet me there.
Do you feel the death penalty should be abolished?
Yes.
So you're with Governor DeWine on that one?
I am.
Why?
First off, the death penalty is enormously expensive, and it is not a deterrent. It has. And there have been studies that have done that have shown that it is not a deterrent to crime. It is cheaper to leave an inmate in life than it is to go through. Because remember, every time they appeal, you have to pay. We the taxpayers have to pay for their attorneys. And the other reason is there have been so many cases now overturned with new technology. You know, convicted felons through DNA have been found to be innocent, and you can't dig up a dead man and say congratulations, you're innocent, you can go free.
You know, it is interesting that I don't know if Kasich has said anything about it, but every living governor, past and present, from Ohio, Republican or Democrat, seems to be against the death penalty. Taft, Strickland, Celeste, DeWine.
I'm in good company then.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the only people, and there's another issue. Is Amy Acton for or against the death penalty?
I have not asked her that question, so I can't answer.
Well, I think she did say something. She said, let me see if we have that. She did say something at one point, and I thought that was a little bit of a different answer in regard to this particular question. Yes, we do have this here.
Okay.
Vivek said, Vivek supports a death penalty only in the most egregious cases and applied only after the legal process has established absolute certainty on every element of the crime, the facts, and the law. Amy Acton said, as governor, my responsibility is to uphold and apply the law of Ohio. Given court rulings, I will respect Ohio's current moratorium. As governor, I will take a hard look at the death penalty and will listen to the Ohioans on the issue.
Well, that's kind of a non-answer, isn't it?
Well, she's back to listening to the Ohioans and upholding the law, and there you go.
And that's what
I was saying. I want you to answer, but that's what I was saying earlier, where Vivek gave an answer, where I believe he believes his answer. He's not against the death penalty. Mm-hmm. Most egregious cases. Okay, what's her answer?
Sounds like her. Here's what I would have answered in what I'm thinking is she has not looked into that issue. Now, whether that's not important to her or whether she didn't think it would be important to Ohioans, she hasn't looked into it. And so rather than say, you know, I haven't looked into that issue, but I will look into it when elected, I will look into it and I will speak with experts in this field and make a decision then. That's a perfectly fine answer as well. People have asked me some questions where I just didn't have an answer, and so I said, you know what, I'll look into that. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. You know, here's the thing. Politicians are not omniscient. Omniscient? Omnipotent? We don't know everything. You know, now, a lot of us want to pretend we do. You know, a lot of people, you know, someone asks you a question and you feel like you've got to give them some sort of an answer, and so you might ramble a little bit, and I do it as well. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the...
People can spin. I'm just saying on two big issues here that Ramaswamy, I think, has given definitive answers on. What are her answers?
Well, you just read one of them, and like I said, that one to me would have been she hasn't looked into it, or it has not been that is not a priority to
her. But do you think she really doesn't understand what the death penalty is?
Oh no, I just don't think she's made a decision yet as to how she would go.
Right. So is that a problem again? Now we've got two issues where you and she might not see eye to eye, because she is saying she would uphold the law.
Well, I mean, so would I, but that's. But if you can change the laws, that's what.
But is that her answer on everything? I guess so. So basically. if the legislature, which pretty good chance it's going to stay Republican, makes a law, she's going to follow it, and that's what you have as Governor Amy Acton.
Well, here's what I
think. I think Governor DeWine's following the law, but he still says he wants to abolish the death penalty. They were just asking her opinion.
Yeah. I think she should have answered it more straightforward. And again, maybe she doesn't have an opinion on it. That would be shocking. And I'm sure again, she's an educated woman. She's a doctor, for heaven's sake. She should have an opinion on it. But again, it may also be I mentioned before. It might just be the fear that she doesn't want to say the wrong thing. And unfortunately, saying nothing is, I guess, there's a Theodore Roosevelt quote that maybe she needs to listen to. Theodore Roosevelt said, his quote was, the best thing you can do in any situation is the right thing. The second best thing is the wrong thing. But the worst thing is doing nothing at all.
Is it a problem that on the trans issue she says that this is settled law in Ohio as well as the Supreme Court, and what I am hearing from the Ohioans is they want me to focus on lowering costs in the state? On the death penalty, I will take a hard look at the death penalty and will listen to Ohioans on this issue. What does that mean?
I imagine what that means is she is going to, when these issues come up, if she does win the governor's seat and these issues come up, that she is going, when she says talk to the people, I assume she's going to be talking to experts in the various fields.
Not Ohioans in general.
Well, I mean, Ohio.
Because when you say that, somebody, you're going to listen to me. Okay, well, you and I might not feel the same way on this issue. So I don't know what that answer means.
I'm struggling to come up with an answer for it. Oh,
whoa! It must be some weather outside. I lost out, but I didn't lose this one,
okay,
so we're in good
still
shape.
On, okay.
Yeah, we're still on there.
All right.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we're not talking to dead Mike.
No. It's on. It's on. That one went dead, but this one didn't. Well, we're out of time, though.
Well, maybe that was a sign
that we're out of time. But yeah, some of these things are interesting, and maybe they'll be cleared up as time goes along.
And you know what? When it comes to what Dr. Acton has in mind, I wish I had those answers.
And that's coming up next. Thank Ken Halloran for coming in today. He is the current Democratic candidate in the 86th District. For this night, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Operation until the early 1960s. In 1969, Cinema Ohio began operations featuring family-type movies with adult movies available in the evening. Since the 19... 19-